Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse number 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I don't know whether we'll cover all of this or not, but just to try to read it in context. So as we think about this, God made a promise unto Abraham and to his seed. And Paul is going to tell us in this book of Galatians that the promise wasn't to Abraham's seeds, plural, but it was to Abraham's seed, one. And that seed, very well explained, in that seed, and that seed was Jesus Christ. So the blessings of Abraham come through the person of Jesus Christ. It's not Abraham's lineage, not Abraham's bloodline, not Isaac in the person of Isaac, not Ishmael because he belonged to Abraham, but Christ was the promised seed, and through Christ, the promises that God made to Abraham belong to me and belong to you. So, thinking about that, for the inheritance of the law is not of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why? Of what purpose? What purpose did the law serve? Well, Joseph has already touched on this morning. It was added because of transgressions. So the law was added that man might realize his sinfulness before God. The law was added because before the law, death did reign. But you know, there was no sentence. There was no violation. There was not anything that you could put your finger on and say, well, man's guilty of this. But God brought the law that man might be exceedingly guilty, that man might realize the sinfulness of his nature, that man might realize just how sinful that he really is. And you know, you might say, well, I think it'd be better not to know the law. Well, if we don't know the law, we're still going to die without God, right? But if we have the law, it helps us to realize just how guilty that we are before God. So I would just ask you this. Can you stop sinning? Can man stop sinning? Let's go even a little farther. Even after you're saved, even after that you've accepted what Christ has done for your soul salvation, can you stop sinning? So, do you think that being unable to stop sinning, that God is going to allow you to go to heaven? Do you think that God is going to allow people that cannot stop sinning? Let me ask you this. Would you like to stop sinning? Now you'll say yes, but the truth is, no, we don't want to stop sinning. We enjoy sinning. There's pleasure in sin for a season, and the flesh desires to be satisfied, and the flesh is at enmity with God. So the truth is, you have no desire if you're unsaved. There's nothing in you to give you any desire to stop sinning. You want to continue sinning. You enjoy sinning. And you have no ability to stop sinning. And God sent the law that man might be aware of how sinful that he really is. That outside of salvation, man has neither the ability nor the desire to ever stop sinning. So the law was sent. The law was sent and added because of transgression. So that word means the violation of God. And you could say this, the violation of God's law. We could say that. We could say the violation of God's will, couldn't we? A friend that man, the law was sent that man might realize what a violator of God's law that he is.
Right.
You know, isn't it something that you can go down the interstate and there's a little sweet spot, and I guess it depends on every different trooper, but you might run 56 to 64, maybe 56 to 67, and they have never turned the blue light on. But you might run 68 miles an hour and friend get a ticket for speeding, right? So would you say this, that in the eyes of the judge and in the eyes of the trooper, the farther I go beyond what is right and what is legal, the greater the of my guilt, that my guilt seems to be, and even myself, even me, I realize that. You know, I'm going down the interstate and I'm running 75 in a 55. When I see the blue light come on, you know, I know immediately I'm going to get a ticket. I am guilty. There is no question that I'm guilty. Well, I want you to know this, that God sent the law that you and I might know what the speed limit is for life, that we might know what God requires, that we might realize that God Almighty has got a requirement for us to go to heaven. And you know what the requirement for God to go to heaven is? His requirement is that I keep the law perfectly. That I never, ever break the law. I never violate the command or the will of God. So I ask us today, have we violated the command of God? Have we violated the will of God? how far outside of the bounds of the law would you say that you have violated? Have you violated a friend in a great manner? Have you violated it just a little bit? Well, know this, that God, a friend, Almighty God, a friend doesn't grade on a scale. A friend, if everybody fails the test, God doesn't say, well, I'll take the highest score and I'll give them a 93 and we'll grade everybody else according to that. A friend, God grades on a true scale, on a just scale, a friend, on a fair scale. Would you say that God is fair? Is He always fair? Do you like that about God? Do you like that God is always fair? Be honest. Do you like that God is always fair? Is this our nature? I'd like God to be fair to Charles, but I'd like God to be merciful unto me. I'd like God to judge that fella over there and that lady right back there. I'd like for God to judge them by the law. But for me, I'd like to have grace and I'd like to have the mercy of God. So the truth is, by the law, ladies and gentlemen, we're all guilty. By the law, we've become exceedingly and great sinners. Sin has become exceedingly sinful by the law. And now, just think with me for a moment. So, by the way, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So, you just think about this, that God sent us the law that we might discern between what is right and what is wrong. That's fair, isn't it? So if I'm driving over 55 and the speed limit says 55, I'm doing what's wrong, am I not? You know what's wrong. God sent us His Word and sent the law that we might know what is wrong. Have you ever done that was wrong in the sight of God? Have I disobeyed or violated the law of God? Friend, I believe that He sent the law that I might know this, that I have been in violation of the law. And friend, if I violate the law and I love a God who is a just God, friend, I love a God who is a fair God, then God is going to have to punish, friend, my breaking and my violation of the law. Right? God, if He's just and He's fair, and friend, we love it that He's fair and He's just and He's going to give every man what he justly deserves. Friend, if I love that kind of a God, then know this, friend, that you and I have violated the law of God, and friend, that I am guilty and knowingly guilty of violating what God said. So, I can't stop sinning. I don't want to stop sinning, but I have sinned. And He also gave us this. He gave us the penalty. Friend, do I know this? You might say, well, now I really don't know. Well, I want you to know this, that the trooper knows when he pulls you over. I believe that he knows, friend, what the penalty is going to be. If he writes a ticket, friend, and I'm 9 miles over, there may be a different penalty, friend, from what, 15 miles over. But that's already been predetermined. Friend, God has already predetermined the penalty, the penalty for sin. Friend, that has already been predetermined. And you know this, we know what the penalty is. If you know what the penalty is, that should make me more careful not to sin, shouldn't it? If I realize that the penalty for sin is eternity, a friend spent in hell, a friend separated from everything that is good and everything that is, a friend would be merciful and separated from all of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God, a friend, you would think that if a man is aware of the penalty, a friend, that he would want to keep the law. More guilty, exceedingly sinful. So God sent us the law. And that I might, you know, that I might be convicted. if I realize that I've violated the law, you know, there's a conviction there. A conviction that I've broken the law of God. A conviction that I violated what God said. I've went against what God Almighty said. And friend, thank God for the law. I say thank God for the law. The law, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely necessary in my thinking, friend, that you and I might realize our guilt before God, friend, that there would be any inclination to come to Jesus. All of this love, 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 love. And never preach the law. Never declare man guilty. Oh, preacher, I think you ought to just preach on love. Why, I'm enjoying God's love. The man down the road and the fella up the road's enjoying God's love too, aren't they? They're dying and going to hell, but they're enjoying the goodness and the mercy of God today, aren't they? But you know what we need to realize? We need to realize that there's a penalty for sin. And friend, that penalty for sin is eternity. A friend, in a place called the lake of fire. A friend, a penalty of sin and violating God's law is that I would be separated, a friend, and cast into outer darkness. A friend, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. A friend, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. A friend, man is headed to hell. And He sent the law that we could be aware of that. He sent the law that man could realize in his violation, in his imperfection, in his lack of desire to even live for God. A friend, knowing, friend, that I have a conviction that I have sinned against God. I've violated God's law. Is there any escape? So, what do you think I ought to do? Is there anything in the law to justify me? Anything in the law to make me right with God? All the law ever does is give me my condition. When the prophet sent Gehazi back down to the Samaritan's house, down to the widow, down to that lady's house down there in Samaria, that good woman, when he sent Gehazi back, you know what Gehazi did? He came back and met him on the way, and he said, I went in and I laid the staff on his face, and nothing happened. He's still dead. That's all the law can do, is declare our condition. Nothing else can be done. Nothing else can be done, friend, but us to come to the realization that we're guilty before God. But listen to what the Word of God said. It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So, just think about that. Thank God there's something in there that's temporary. Do you see that? That the law was come till. The law was there, and it serveth, and it was added because of transgression till the seed should come. Thank God the law, our friend, in the life of the believer is temporary. Our friend, it's not on and on and on and on. Our friend, that I'm trying to live up and trying to be justified by the law. But thank God, you know what I'm looking for? I was looking for the seed. I was looking for the promise. I was looking, friend, our friend, that one that was going to take my sin away, that one that God promised Abraham, that one that where all the blessings were coming through that seed, friend, I was looking for that seed to be revealed.
Right.
You read it with me. God didn't do away with the moral law. God did away with the ceremonial law. God did away with the law that man could ever try to live up and be justified with it. Friend, He did away with that. And friend, everyone, I believe it's in the book of Acts. I'm going to read a verse to you. Book of Acts, maybe about chapter 13. Chapter 13. I'm
Be it known unto you, 1338. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. For preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believeth are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now the law came that I might realize my sin, that I might realize the penalty for sin, that I might realize the conviction of sin, that it might fall on me, that it might be weighty upon me, that I might realize that we're serving a just God and a righteous God and a God, as our brother said Friday night, a God who cannot let sin slide, a friend, but a God who has to bring about a payment and a just payment for sin. A friend, but know this, that no man will ever be justified by the law, but thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, man can be justified from that he could never be justified by the law of Moses.
Right. Why did the law come? To make me guilty. The law came to show me my sinfulness. The law came to show me that I was a violator. The law came to show me that there was a penalty. The law came, but thank God the law, ladies and gentlemen, I was my schoolmaster. Friend, you know what it was? Friend, it was the servant. It's a servant that came down to the house, and this man down at the house, this king's got three little boys. Friend, and the servant come down and got them three little boys by the hand, and he said, boys, we're going to school today. Friend, and the law led me down to the schoolhouse. Friend, that I might learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, the law, friend, took me by the hand. Friend, led me down to the schoolhouse. Realized I was lost and undone. Realized I was going to hell. Realized I was separated from God. But thank God, you know something? Friend, I didn't have to stay in the schoolhouse forever. Thank God. Friend, he led me down there. Friend, that I would be able to find the Lord Jesus. So, the law was our schoolmaster. He says that a little farther in the word. It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. So now we could look and we could see that the law, you might have to dig a little, but by the word of God, out of Deuteronomy, Stephen said it in his sermon, that law came down by the dispensation of angels, and Moses was the mediator. Now, I realize this, he's going to say in the next verse, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So let's compare the two now, okay? So the Word of God came down. Now a mediator is bringing a third party, you might say, is bringing two parties together. So for man to be reconciled unto God, God sent His representative down, maybe the angels, maybe the Spirit and the power of God that came down. And Moses was the man in between God and all of the people. So Moses brought down the requirements of the covenant that man and God could be reconciled. Would you agree with that? So just a little bit. We'll read just a little. So I believe it's in Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 2. I'll read 1. And this is the blessing wherein Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose from Mount Seir. Unto them he shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000 of his saints, for his right hand went a fiery law for them. So Moses, our friend, is the mediator. And you might say, well, now Jesus is the mediator.
I believe Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. I believe we can find that over and over again in the book of Hebrews. I believe we find it implied right here in the book of Galatians. But Moses is the man. Moses is the one that's bringing the law down. And you know what he's doing? He's telling us what God requires. He is giving us the list of requirements to be accepted with God. Does Moses, does his law, does the law that God gave to Moses and the agreement that Moses made with God and made with the people agreed to do all that God said, that's what they agreed to. They agreed to do everything that God said, that they could be in fellowship and in covenant with God. Now let me ask you this. Does Moses and that covenant supersede, does it go in front of, does it disannul what God promised to Abraham? So the angels came, Moses came, the people came as representatives, and Moses, the mediator, the third party, to reconcile these two parties. And they said, we'll do everything that God said. But do you know who made the promise to Abraham? There was no mediator. God. A mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God made a promise to Abraham, and friend, when they did the rites or the ritual that you might say that was done in Moses' day, Moses killed the animal, took the blood, and sprinkled it on the book, and sprinkled it on the people. You know what happened when God did that thing with Abraham? God slew the animals. And friend, when Abraham was in a deep sleep, God walked through the slain animals on each side. And God swore, if I don't do what I'm saying, let me be like these slain animals. Let me be dead like they're dead. I'll tell you where Abraham was. Abraham was in a deep sleep, and God was the mediator, a friend of Abraham. He was the mediator of God, and he was one. And friend, every bit of it was going to be done because God said so. Right. He did not leave it up to man to do his part. A friend, God Almighty fulfilled a man's part in the person of Jesus Christ. God held up the promise that he made to Abraham. And friend, he's the mediator, not of one, but praise God, he's one. And you know what he did? He mediated. Our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was the promise seed, and he fulfilled the promise that God made to Abraham.
Right.
And you and I, if we're believers, just a little more. So it was brought down by the hand, ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. So, that mediator is one that interposes between two parties at variance for the purpose of reconciling them. You know something? If it hasn't been for, if it is not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life that He gave, there is no reconciliation between you and God. That outside of what Jesus Christ has done, you will never ever be reconciled unto God. You're always going to be at variance.
You're always going to be an enemy. You're always going to be in the wrath of God. You're always going to be on the consuming fire aside of God. You're always going to be on the side of God being angry with the wicked every day. Friend, you're always going to be on the side, a friend, of the nations that forget God and are cast into hell. I'll say this, friend, outside of a reconciliation made by the seed that God promised Abraham, there's no hope for anybody. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So can I do enough? Am I right enough? You know what man's on? He's on a scale constantly. He thinks in his mind, I've done more good than I've done bad. I've been good to the wife. I've been good to my neighbor. I've been good to my husband. I pay my bills. I try to look after my children. I try to do the right thing. I'm not a drinker. I'm not a curser. I'm not doing all these ungodly and wicked things that the world's doing. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever sinned against God? You're guilty. You're guilty. You have violated, our friend, the requirement of God. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. Don't let that be said. No, ma'am, no, sir, no way. Is God, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. Has there been any law that ever made a man righteous? Let me ask you, why do they put all these laws on the book? They're not for good people, righteous people. Upright people. You know, there's a law. There's a law that says if you break into my house, there's a penalty for that. Well, why in the world do they have to put that on the book? Because people will break into your house and steal what you've got. So they wrote a law to say that there's a penalty for that. So when I sin, there's a penalty. Is the law of God against the promise of God? No. No. The law has been given for the lawless, for the ungodly, for the men-stealers, for the wicked. I wonder if we fall into that category. I wonder if we're lawless. I wonder if we're guilty. I wonder if God would consider me lawless and guilty. Would God consider me a violator of His law? Well, then, if God would consider me lawless and a violator, what's the penalty? Eternal death and hell. That's the penalty. So is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. But, by the Word of God now, there's nobody righteous. Read chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, we've got His Word on that, right? We've got God's Word. Our friend Joseph covered it. I believe you can look at it in the book of Romans, chapter number 3, that nobody's going to be justified by the law. Why did God send the law? That I might realize that there's no way that I can ever be right with God. Our friend, that no way by the law, I'm a violator. I'm a breaker. Our friend, I'm guilty, and I'm condemned, and I'm convicted. And by a just and a living and a righteous and a holy God, I'm going to have to be convicted, and I'm going to have to be sentenced. God's going to have to do that. There's going to have to be a payment made for sin.
You hear me? Everybody here, there's going to be a payment for the sin in your life. You're going to have to pay. There's going to have to be a payment made for the sin in your life. People think they're going to slide by. They're going to get by. I'm going to skirt by somehow. From a living, holy, all-knowing, all-powerful God, you're going to get by? We're going to get by? We're going to get right one day. You are. I tell you when you're going to get right. You're going to get right when God opens the door and says, come in. You're going to see the doctor when he says, I'll be in a minute. Take him back there in the waiting room and I'll be in to see you. Friend, you'll see the governor and you'll see the commissioner and you'll see the president. Friend, when you're invited in by them, and when you get saved, it'll be because God gave you an invitation. And if God opens the door and gives you an invitation, and you spurn that, and you let that slide by, friend, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?
Right.
I tell you, people think too highly themselves. I'll tell God a thing or two. Why don't you do this? Why don't you go uptown and just get on the interstate? Why don't you just get on the interstate and run about 100? See if you get any attention. And when you get some attention, and that fella, you're going to run from him, why don't you just see how far you can get? And when he pulls you over, friend, why don't you just tell him a thing or two? And see where that gets you. People are silly, foolish. That I'm going to tell God a thing or two? I tell you what He's doing. He's giving us His law to make us aware of how guilty that we are. But the Scripture, verse 22, but the Scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. So the Scripture, you can say the law if you want to say the law. You can say God's Word if you want to say that. We could say the revelation that God has given even through nature, that there is a God that we're going to have to face. But through the Scripture is the revelation of this, that I'm guilty before God. Through the Scripture, the Word of God says this, but the Scripture hath concluded. Now that means to shut up in prison. So I ask you this. You know what the Word of God will do? It'll shut my mouth. The Word of God will shut my mouth of my own justification. The Word of God has shut us all up. Now, it doesn't really mean that it shuts my mouth, but I believe that it does that. But it means that it shut up in a type and in a shadow of being put in prison. So the Word of God, the Scripture, have concluded all. Now, when I say all, what do you think that the Bible means when the Bible says all? Do you think that that means these people sitting over on the right side, that they're all guilty of the law? And these over here, except for row 3 and row 7, friend, that they're not guilty of the law? Friend, tell to you this, that the Bible said that the Scripture has concluded all. Friend, that every one of us are shut up in the prison and we're held there as slaves of sin. Sin has put me in prison, put mankind in prison, put man on the road, on death row.
Right.
You might have another 5 years. You might have another 15 years. You may have another 5 minutes, but I tell you, man is on death row. Man is on death row. The Scripture have concluded all. The Scripture has made us all guilty.
The Word of God has shut us up in prison. So now you think about this. Just think about this Word of God. So, but the Scripture have concluded all under sin. So we've been shut up. And friend, just think about this. We're all together. Every one of us have been shut up. Friend, every one of us are guilty. Every one of us have been captivated and made a prisoner by our own sin. You're a slave to sin. Held. Now listen. Listen to this word. You go through the verse with me. The Scripture had concluded, that means to shut up in prison, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. So, I'm held. Would you say that there's a guard at the prison? Is there someone there to keep those that are inside, to keep them from getting out? Do you reckon that the law of God can hold man in that prison? Do you reckon that my guilt could continue to hold me in prison? By the law. Let me ask you this. How long do you reckon that the law would hold somebody that robbed a bank with a gun? Is there a timeline there? Is there a sentence there? Is there a particular sentence, a particular time that has to be served? Our friend, and that person cannot get out of prison because the law holds them there. So you and I that are unsaved, our friend, were held in the prison. And friend, the law holds us there. I tell you that, friend, that the guard, friend, there's a guard there. And friend, if you don't think that the law's enough, know this. Friend, that God the Father, we're held there by Him. Friend, that no injustice is going to slide by God the Father, is there? Would you say that He's the chief warden of all of those that are in prison? Is He going to let anybody escape? Is God Almighty the chief warden of all of those that are captivated and imprisoned by sin? Is He going to let you escape? Is God going to make a mistake and somehow you're going to tunnel out? You're going to go under the Word of God. You're going to go over the Word of God. We're all going to come together and we're going to escape. No, I tell you what He does. He laughs. He laughs when we all come together and says, let us get out from under His rule. Yeah. You're held captive by the law. By God Himself. The truth is, when you come before God, you know what's going to be said? God's going to say you're guilty and you're not going to have a word to say.
That's right. Very true.
He asked this to the man at the wedding feast. He said, how did you come in here without a wedding garment on? And he said unto them, bind him hand and foot. And he was speechless. And he said unto them, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. Not a word was said. You want a reason? Today's the reason. Today is the day of reason. You want to plead for mercy? Today's the day to plead your case. You want to beg for grace? Today is the day to beg for grace. But know this, when you come down to the end of the way, a friend, and you've left this world, a friend, a servant of sin and a prisoner, held by the law of God, held by Almighty God Himself, held by the wrath of God, held by your own guiltiness and your own conscience, there's no escape from hell.
But the Scripture had concluded all under sin that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So there's a way out. There's a deliverer from prison. There's a ransom been paid. There's a pardon been granted. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. There has a pardon come not from the governor, not come from the president, but there is a pardon been granted by Almighty God. How in the world do we get that pardon? How can I escape out of the prison of death and hell? How can I escape having to pay for my sin? I tell you, friend, that the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how I escape. A friend through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His work has already been done. What do I need to do? I need to entrust my soul to that. I need to put my faith in that. I need to continually, ongoing. A friend, it's not a profession that I made at 9 and came to the altar one day and live for the devil for the next 45 years. I'll tell you what it is. It's a life that's yielded unto the Son of God. A friend, it's believing in Him every day. It's trusting in the Word of God. It's putting my faith and my trust in what Jesus Christ has done that I can escape the hand of a wrathful God. It's really very simple. But it's so hard for man to believe that he needs a Savior. So hard for man to believe that he needs to be saved. But I promise you this, that every one of us by the Scripture have been held in prison. There's one deliverer. One deliverer. And that is faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen. It's not I need to do this and do that and do the other. I put my faith in what Jesus Christ has done that I could escape from sin's prison. Held by the law, held by God Almighty, held by the chief warden that will not let anybody escape. The only escape there is a pardon, a ransom, a deliverer that could plead the case with God. He's the mediator. He did what I could not do. He did what you could not do. The covenant that people broke and I broke of trying to live right before God, Jesus Christ fulfilled that.
That's right.
He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. He dotted every I. He crossed every T. And friend, on Sunday morning, God said, I accept that sacrifice. Praise God, He arose from the dead that you and I could be justified before God.
True.
Just another second. Listen to these words now. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up. That word means in ward. Not inward. In ward. In the ward of the prison. We were kept. We were shut up. Held by the law of God. Held by the Word of God. Held by our own guilt, our own admission, our own conscience. Held there and we were guilty. But Jesus came. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up, unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. So, what's he talking about? He's talking about a doctrine of faith. He's talking about a doctrine that I put my faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know how Abraham was justified? By faith. He believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. Abraham's the man that God made the promise of the seed to, right?
Are you a child of Abraham?
Preacher, I've never been able to trace my lineage back that far. Could you trace it back to the faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's as far as you need to go. But before faith came, we were kept in ward under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So why are we going to school? We're going to school to learn, right? We're going to school. We're sending our little boys and our little girls. And they're learning math. And they're learning how to talk and how to write and how to reason. And they're learning about science. And they're learning about physics. And they're learning about history. And they're learning, why would I go down to the house of God? Why would I come to the law? Oh, friend, that I might realize in the law that there's no hope for me, that I'm guilty, that I'm in prison, that the law has shut me up in prison. But thank God the schoolmaster led me down there. And friend, it wasn't just the law that they taught down there. But thank the Lord we come to the New Testament. And friend, the good news is the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed of Abraham has come. And through Him, man can be justified with God. How? By faith. What does that mean? That means that I believe in Him. I entrust my life, my soul to Him. I commit myself to Him. I commit my life to live for Him. It's an ongoing action. It's not a one time. Romans chapter number 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That means to entrust or to commit, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what does that word mean? That means the persuasion. Are you persuaded that Jesus Christ has taken your place? Are you persuaded? And friend, are you convinced? Are you convicted by the Holy Spirit that the Son of God died for you? Friend, that's what He's asking us to do. Friend, He's asking us to put our faith, our trust, our submission, our entrustment of our soul and count that, believe that, trust that. Friend, that I shall escape hell because I'm living my life and yielding it unto what Jesus has done. Not with lips, but with a heart and with a life. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Do you believe it's true? Do you believe that credence? Do you believe that the Bible is true? Do you believe that every one of us were or are shut up in prison, held by the law, held by God, held by the conviction of our own consciousness that we were sinners? God sent a deliverer to the prison. God sent a ransom. There was a ransom. He said to Mary, "Touch me not. I've not yet ascended unto the Father." What was He going to do? He was going to make an offering of Himself on the altar of God in heaven. Don't touch me, Mary. Don't defile me, Mary. He was going to make an offering of Himself one time for my sin, for your sin,
for the sins of the whole world.
Right.
I put my faith, my belief, my credence, I put my life in the hands of the Lord and Savior. I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. And the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans 10 and 9, he says, through and by faith, we believe this, we believe it. And it says to us here in the Word, bear with me just a second. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, does there have to be more than just a confession from the mouth? There's got to be a conviction in the heart. There's got to be an entrusting my soul unto what Jesus has done.
Right.
Anything on your heart.